This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dan Olmsted is a former UPI reporter, and he is the founder and editor at theageofautism.com, the central place to explore the very latest about autism on the internet. Dan joins us on the long line. How are you, sir?
Hi, Coy. I'm good.
You got snow in your forecast tonight?
I think kind of in the outlying areas. How about you?
Yeah, the snow showers, you know, just that little very beginnings of winter.
Yeah, it's definitely turned from a late fall to early winter.
Yeah. And I love it. It's about time. Bring it on. Yeah. Dan, tell us now. We haven't spoken to you since Obama and Biden won the election.
Yeah.
What can we expect from this incoming administration, perhaps that we didn't see from the outgoing administration when it comes to the epidemic of autism?
Well, one thing that I think a lot of us are hopeful for and would have been hopeful for with McCain as well is just the depoliticization of the science, a fresh look at what kinds of studies are involved in figuring out what's causing autism and what studies have been done and who did them and what the conflicts are. I just wrote a story today about a new report that is kind of a related thing where the Veterans Administration contracted with the Institute of Medicine to do studies on Gulf War syndrome, and basically the Institute of Medicine came up with nothing, you know, no connection, that sort of thing. Well, now an independent review panel has said that the VA rigged the thing. They basically asked a series of very restrictive questions and got the answer they wanted, which was no answer, and now the government believes that they need to go back and do it all again, and I think that we need to do it all again with autism and try to get to the bottom of this in a non-political way. And I think Obama will do that because he has said that he wants a top-to-bottom review of the uses of science in the Bush administration.
Yeah, certainly, and we've done a lot of interviews on this program. Certainly, the Bush administration has been arguably anti-science, or at least anti the science they don't like.
That's right. I mean, they, as I understand it, even took several pages out of testimony that the head of the Center for Disease Control gave on the health impacts of global warming, basically just put a muzzle on her. And, of course, the CDC is also the key agency involved in the vaccine schedule that many people think, and I think, is behind a significant percentage of the rise in autism cases. So I think we're looking for a level playing field, a new day. I mean, pick your cliche, but we need a fresh start here, and hopefully with Obama we're going to get it. And again, it's not a Democrat or Republican issue. I think McCain would have done the same thing, so let's just hope it happens.
We're talking with Dan Olmsted at theageofautism.com. You know what I'd like to see, too, is I'd like to see the dusted, blown off that the finding of that House subcommittee report from a few years ago that found that the mercury in vaccines was very likely related to the autism epidemic. This was a series of hearings that were held in the U.S. House of Representatives subcommittee on health or something.
Right.
And they announced their findings very mysteriously on a Saturday. If you want to talk about burying the lead, burying the news, they announced their findings on a Saturday years ago.
Yeah.
And it hardly has ever been reported. But one of the government bodies in Washington did some research, interviewed experts, and said, you know what? There's some very alarming information here, some very alarming science here that really needs to be looked at.
I think their language that, you know, was that mercury in vaccines very likely was responsible for the huge increase in autism over the past couple of decades, and that it was time to get serious about that, and that the federal government had basically been asleep at the switch. And I think that's a good phrase, asleep at the switch. We need our government regulators to do their job and protect us. And if they're not going to do it, then they need to get out of the way.
What about, we're talking with Dan Olmsted of ageofautism.com. What about the, under the Obama administration, will we likely see any changes to the sort of revolving door? You talk about regulation. So many of the folks in the pharmaceutical and health industry end up working for a few years as part of the regulatory apparatus in Washington, and then they go through that revolving door and go right back into industry. And some folks have made the case, and I believe convincingly so, that this affects their judgment while they're supposed to be regulating the very industry that they really work for.
Well, I think that's true, and it's, again, a nonpartisan issue. I mean, I think under President Clinton, the FDA was authorized to start charging several hundred thousand dollars to drug companies who wanted an application for a new drug considered, and so all of a sudden they basically were making money off of pharmaceutical companies trying to get new drugs going, and that was a very bad thing to happen. And I think the whole lobbying revolving door is such that, in a sense, you can't hardly tell the CDC from the pharmaceutical industry. That just sort of got a different name on it. You know, basically, if the pharmaceutical industry wants a new vaccine approved, it seems to happen. And so this is where we've gotten this massively over exposed generation of kids who are getting, you know, chickenpox vaccines at 1 year and hepatitis B shots on the day of birth, which is just an abomination because it's not anything that that an infant is likely to get. And so the only good sign I could see so far is that Obama has put pretty strict rules on the members of his transition team and new appointments in terms of they cannot even be on this team if they've lobbied, you know, for a related industry in the past year, and they have to sign a lot of commitments like that for the next year. So that's good. I think McCain had more lobbyists in his campaign, and we don't want the lobbyists anywhere near the door.
Yeah. Dan Olmsted is the former UPI reporter and the founder and editor at ageofautism.com. Dan, we were talking about mercury and vaccines. There was a recent study came out that you reported on regarding some rain study. What is this about?
Well, there have been several studies, including one that just a couple of weeks ago, that found that there does appear to be a higher rate of autism in communities with higher rates of rainfall, which is kind of weird on the face of it. I mean, why would that possibly be? And so people are fishing around, so to speak, for explanations. One is that maybe the rain makes kids go indoors, and there they watch too much TV and play too many video games, and that warps their developing brain. There's the idea that maybe there's more household toxic chemicals they're exposed to. Maybe there's a lack of sunlight, and vitamin D, we know, is important for the immune system. I think the simplest explanation is there's something about the rain itself, and that would be that that's how mercury precipitates out of the atmosphere. And we know that mercury in the atmosphere is a risk for autism because we've had studies recently that showed that the closer you live to a coal-fired power plant, which spews mercury, the higher the rate of autism. So I think this, again, is a very consistent finding. It means something, but there seems to be an unwillingness to look at the simplest explanation, which is something is in the rain that is causing a toxic exposure that is triggering autism.
And Dan, just for the folks who are just joining this conversation, remind us again, when we talk about autism, why in the world we're even talking about mercury and vaccines?
Well, because the rate of autism spiked dramatically about 1990. It's gone up something like 10 times in the past 20 years. And that was exactly the point at which more mercury-based vaccines were authorized by the CDC, several at once. And so mercury, we know, is neurotoxic. It's very bad for kids. It's very bad for fetuses. And I've added to that a little bit by going back to the very first cases of autism in the 30s, and that is when the kind of mercury in vaccines, ethylmercury, was first developed, and that's when you see the very first cases. And it was also used in fungicides at that point, and a lot of the early cases have connections to, you know, fathers who were plant pathologists or forestry professors or that sort of thing. So I think it's pretty obvious that at least a significant percentage of the autism that has happened, you know, since the dawn of the age of autism in the 30s is related to this particularly toxic kind of organic mercury called ethylmercury.
And I ran into somebody the other day and said, Coy, I know you're always talking about autism because, you know, they know I have a son who's been diagnosed with autism, and they know it's a subject that's very near and dear to my heart. And they said, you know, I thought I spoke to my doctor recently, and they said there's no more mercury in the vaccines.
Well, that's not anything to laugh about, but it's ridiculous to say that because it remains in the flu shot, and the flu shot has become much more widely given, including to pregnant women, which is when the fetus is incredibly vulnerable, and also to infants as young as 6 months. And it's a big full dose of mercury, just like the old vaccines had. There's increasing mercury from coal-fired plants in the atmosphere. And then it gets into fish, and there's a definite correlation we see between lots of fish eating and developmental problems in kids. That's why pregnant women are advised not to eat too much fish, particularly tuna and that sort of thing. So, this is not complicated. The effort to make it complicated is very suspicious, I think, and that's why we need a fresh start here, because we're getting sand kicked in the umpire's face every day about this issue.
Yeah, my hope is that we will have new leadership in Washington that will, number one, stand up and say we have an epidemic, that we have a national crisis on our hands with all of these kids so sick, and that they will finally put the resources of our government behind a true nonpartisan, truly scientific exploration of what in the hell is going on with this tragedy.
And, just last week, in a very promising development, every major autism organization, including Autism Speaks, which has been somewhat at odds with sort of the biomedical environmental community on this, all of them signed a document that basically blasted the procedure that the National Institutes of Health is using to figure out how to spend this $1 billion that was appropriated with great fanfare last week. And they're sort of under-appropriating it. They're not even using it all. They're not looking at environmental causes. They're not including members of the community. And so this was a very powerful statement of, you guys, we're not playing ball with you guys anymore because we just think that you're not serious about what we think is a very germane part of this conversation, which is the environmental roots of the autism epidemic.
Yeah, and I can tell you, as a dad with autism in the family, to have your government turn your back on you like this and treat you like you're the problem is beyond insult to injury. It's beyond tragedy upon tragedy. It's just it's inexplicable to me. And my hope is that we would just have finally get some honorable people in positions of leadership who can help these children. And Dan Olmstead, of course, is one of those people out there doing just that at ageofautism.com. Dan, thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking to you next month.
Always a pleasure, Corey.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.